Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Antonio Sabato Jr., and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Bradford Anderson, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Thompson, and you are listening to Stardish Radio. Keep listening.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is October 22nd, 2008. I'm your host, Joanne, and please make sure when we're done, rate the shows, download them, do what you got to do, but those ratings are not getting put in. So, yes, tomorrow, October 23rd, Kimberly Locke from Season 2 American Idol is going to be on Stardish Radio. Very excited about that. She's got a restaurant. She's got her album, Celebrity Fit Club. She's got a lot of stuff going on that we're going to dish about. So I'm really excited about that also. And before I go any further, I have to say happy birthday to my best friend, Linda McGillaway. I miss you, baby. I'll see you 22 more days at Super Soap Weekend. I hope you had a good day. All right, getting down to brass knuckles here, we got Brandon on the phone. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Joanne. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Okay, we're bringing on Tony. Hey, Tony. Tony? Hello? Where's Tony? 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 Okay, Tony's not there. Okay. He'll call back. I don't know where he is. Okay, so tonight we are going to be paying tribute to Eileen Hurley, who portrayed Myrtle Fargate on All My Children since 1976. Brandon, I lost you now too. Where'd you go? Okay, you're there. Brandon, you back? No. Tony, you there?
Yes, Joanne, I'm here.
Okay, I don't know what happened to Brandon now. Okay.
You got gremlins in the switchboard. You got gremlins in the switchboard tonight.
I'm telling you. Wait a second here. There he goes. Brandon, you back?
I'm back. Sorry.
We both got cut off, didn't we, Brandon?
They hung up on me.
Me too, Brandon.
Well, we tried to pick you up, and I didn't hear you, and then you were gone, and then Brandon was gone. I said, okay.
So I made me a signal call back, so I called back right away.
So tonight we're discussing the lives and the careers of two of soap's most loved people, Eileen Hurley and James Riley. We all know Eileen for portraying Myrtle Fargate on All My Children since 1976. She was the beloved mother figure to everyone pretty much on All My Children from her days with Greg and Jenny right up to the very bittersweet end with Zach and Kendall. So Susan Lucci had made a comment saying that, "I'm sure Eileen is lighting up the skies in heaven with her flaming red hair and lovely Scottish accent." And Eden Regal made a comment stating that she lit up the whole studio. Corny as it may sound, no one was ever more alive than she. So she's someone who's going to be sorely missed on that set.
Was she an original cast member?
She started in 76.
Okay.
No, I don't think she was an original cast member. I think she came after the start of the series.
Yeah, she was brought in to portray someone associated with Ruth Warwick, Phoebe Tyler. I don't remember the storyline particularly, but it was something about bringing her in, pretending she was someone to get at someone. She was a carny worker and a bit of a con woman, I guess, in the beginning, and just eventually grew into this, mother figure to all the citizens of Pine Valley.
I gotcha.
Even Regal went on to say, the day of the, in saying goodbye, the cast of All My Children did a champagne toast to celebrate her life, and Eden said that she thought that Eileen would have really liked that because she loved a good cocktail, loved having an attractive young man around to flirt with, and loved getting her hair and makeup done, and just loved to act and gave it all she had right up to the very end. So go ahead, take it away.
When Carol Burnett guest starred on the show, didn't she play Myrtle's daughter, or am I mistaken about that?
You know what? I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
Because it would be great if when they decide to, you know, have Myrtle's funeral, they could get
tribute.
Carol Burnett back.
Yeah, Emma Grimes, I think it was her name. I think it was.
Yeah, but wasn't she, like, Myrtle's illegitimate daughter or something? Or some relation to Myrtle?
Probably was.
I'll see right now. Let's see. I'm going to Google it right now.
I could have researched this.
Huh?
I said you'd think I could have researched this today.
That's okay. People have, let's see.
Yeah.
We know that Carol Burnett was a very long-time fan of All My Children. Let me see. Television. She certainly was on All My Children.
No, she was a long-lost daughter of Emily Wallingford and Phoebe Tyler, so.
Yeah. You know what? I really can't wait to see what they're going to do as a memorial to her.
And you know they're going to have to do something because she was too important to the canvas to just kind of, you know, ignore the passing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, she was a 32-year veteran. Come on, she was like this, like the fifth longest running cast member on that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only original cast members are Ray McDonald and Susan Lucci now.
That's all that's left, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, she, Burnett found herself playing the long-lost daughter of Langley Wallingford. Okay. She hosted the 25th anniversary special about the show and made a brief cameo as Verla Grubbs.
Verla Grubbs, that's it. Yeah,
so, yeah, and it would be a great way for them to bring back in Robin Christopher.
Exactly. And
Linda Dano.
Everybody's been clamoring for both of those.
Linda Dano also.
Yeah, Linda Dano. Yeah, right, Ray Cummings, right.
So that would be something. I'm just saying because in my memory, I really don't remember them giving a really big tribute to to Ruth Warwick either.
No, they gave a 3 or 4 minute tribute at the end of the show.
Right, that's what I mean. You know, nothing. And they shunned her at the Emmys that year also.
Yeah, if
you
I'm
know
not mistaken,
how,
she died right after the 35th anniversary, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, and remember, you know how they used to do, or they still do sometimes, at the end of the Emmys or during the Emmys, they pay tribute to those who have been lost during that year. And Ruth was not part of that.
Right.
And Kelly Ripa had said something the following day regarding that she couldn't believe that they did not pay tribute to her at all during that Emmy television show.
Yeah, it's a shame. The same thing happened to Beverly McKenzie this year, who was, you know, such an instrumental part of Another World and Guiding Light in her career.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's a crying shame that, you know, we don't, I say we like I'm a part of it, but that the industry doesn't honor its veterans with more respect and more grace than they do.
No question.
You've got to believe it's part of the reason why the industry is in such decline.
Mm-hmm. This is true. I really wanted to mention that last night to Jean Leclerc about her also. I just, I don't know, it just went by so fast.
Yeah. Yeah, right, because he was would have shared his memory from Eileen, because I know he worked with her on My Children, and I know he would have, you know, would have said some very good. But I'm pretty sure that, whoever they did, yeah, it could have been, it would have been pretty nice to hear his comments about what Eileen meant to him.
Right, right. Also, Eileen was part of that, beginning of crossovers with Loving and One Life to Live.
Right, I have it right. Yeah, I have it right here. She was the late. She says until the late 1990s, Hurley was one of the first actresses to portray the same character on three different shows. In 1993, she portrayed Meryl on Loving, and then in December 2000, she began crossover on One Life to Live. And the Who's the Daddy storyline was played on all four ABC soaps.
Mm-hmm.
All My Children, One Life to Live, General Hospital, and in Port Charles at the time.
Yep.
Right.
I don't ever remember her on Loving, but I remember her coming over to One Life to Live with Linda Dano several times.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember her on Loving either.
Yeah.
We have Rita on the phone. I'm going to bring Rita on. Hi, Rita.
Hey, Rita.
Rita, are you there, or did you become a victim also of the Blog Talk switchboard?
Oh, the Blog Talk gremlins.
Okay, well, you're going to have to call back then, because the gremlins got you. I don't know. She's not there. Brandon, what are some of your favorite storylines that you remember with Myrtle?
Well, I remember, because I'm a huge Linda Dano fan, and so the main one I remember is when Linda Dano came over and they teamed up and realized they were mother and daughter, and they had several very intense, very emotional kind of reunion scenes around that storyline, and that's what I remember most.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you could always, she always had such, I don't know what the right word, sincerity in her eyes and in her performances.
Right.
You could always believe everything she said because she always just, it was like she looked right through the screen right at you, and she's one of those actresses that just, that made you believe everything she said. She was really a treasure.
What about you, Tony?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Brandon there. Yeah, she was definitely a treasure for everyone to see, especially on television, and the storyline that I remember her mainly doing is the scenes that she did with Zach, of course. You know, the acting the advice column or the sounding board time Zach had the problem. He always came to her and tried to solve it. But one of the ones that really stuck out for me was the intervention of Erica back in 2004, when after
mm-hmm.
Erica came back from Las Vegas. And they had that intervention about her drinking, about
mm-hmm.
her drinking, and she was dealing with her rape when she was a child. You know, she was dealing
right.
with her father rape, and she went out to Vegas. She ran away to Vegas to be that showgirl, and they brought her back home, and then she had the drinking, and they had the intervention in there with her, with Bianca and Kendall and Jack and Myrtle. And Myrtle was trying to, you know, and I remember Myrtle and sending her eyes to see how much she was seeing Erica hurt at the time. And that, to me, and every time she spoke to her, she spoke to Erica, you know, in a more gentle, loving way. That's what I remember about that, how person she was on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Very, you know, very loving.
Yeah, I remember.
No, go ahead, Brandon.
No, I remember when Mona died and Eric kind of fell apart at the funeral, and I remember Myrtle was the one who kind of stepped in and you know, kind of took her under her wing a little bit. And I mean, she'd always been close to Erica, but after her mother died, it was like, you know, she kind of stepped into that role of mother figure, and it was, there was some really moving scenes in during that time.
Right.
It was almost like she became Mona reincarnate immediately,
exactly, exactly.
You know? And it was like Mona left the earth and just jumped right into Myrtle Mode. Yeah, that was Okay, we got Rita back here. Let's see if she's there.
Thank you.
Rita? Hi, Rita.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you fine,
now.
Rita.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for bringing me in this, because I have a solution for you.
Okay.
And thank you for bringing up Myrtle. You are so right, Brandon, Tony. You are so right. We forget about our veterans. And I'm not what I did. They need to give Myrtle the same respect that they gave Lila Quartermain. And when she died, I don't have a computer. You know, I'm internet. A friend of mine took me over to her house, and she patched me in, and I spent the afternoon typing, because I'm not a quick typist. And
right.
I told them, you need to give a woman that gave so much honor and respect to General Hospital for over, 26 years? And
yeah.
I spent the afternoon typing, and I'm thinking we need to give Myrtle that same respect that they gave Lila Quartermain. And I agree with you, Tony, thank you. They did not give Mona. They gave her like one day. I'm glad they gave Lila 3 days. They need to, you said November 12th is the 10,000th episode?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. They need to give Myrtle 2 or 3 days. And they need to have people coming in for her.
Well, I'm wondering now if they're going to write that into the storyline of her being killed in the tornado now.
Well, they don't. That's what I'm angry about. She does not need a tornado death. She needs a. That kind of belittles it.
I don't know about that. I don't think it belittles it. I mean, it's a tragedy. You know, I mean, Babe is a casualty. There's casualties in tornadoes. So, I mean, given Myrtle's age and her frailty, even though she's spunky as all hell, I mean, it's very feasible that she may die in something like that.
In the tornado?
Yeah.
Yep. Or,
I mean, that's what I think. What, Brandon?
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with Rita. I think it deserves a little bit more dignity and a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more attention than that. And plus, I would imagine it's probably too late to write it in that way. I don't know that to be true, but.
Well, they do it 3 weeks in advance.
Before she even passed away, that she was going to be a casualty of that tornado.
Yeah, that was the rumor, but we never really got confirmation on that. So.
Right.
Never.
I mean, well, they did say a second person. You're right, but
yeah. So, I mean, I don't think it would be a disservice if they did it right. I mean, if you think about the way Mona died, because she died before she even had done any scenes. She hadn't been on in a while, and she passed away. So they didn't have a chance or an opportunity to do anything as far as write her out in, you know, in, I don't know, in a way like this, you know. It was kind of like one day you woke up and she's not there anymore. You know, if they did plan this all the way from the beginning, you know, when they decided on this tornado storyline, I mean, and now with it actually coming to fruition, if they can maneuver it somehow to get Robin Christopher and Linda Dano and even Carol Burnett to come back in, you know, once everything settles down and it's like, damn, where's Myrtle, you know, and they realize that she's gone, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't think it would be such a bad thing if they did it the right way.
Yeah.
If they did it the right way, well, but with dignity. It's just, I don't know. The feeling is like she should have done it in her sleep or wasn't affected. Oh, the tornado is making everybody, you know, they got hurt or something. With her, it would be better with, Well, like you said, I guess if they could do it the right way.
Well, I mean, it's something that's in motion already. You know, I mean, I think it would be worse. It's like, oh poor, you know, Myrtle, forgotten Myrtle. I mean, the last time she was on the screen was in June. No?
In June?
I believe that's right.
I thought she was talking with Seth not too long ago.
Well, it may have aired later, so the last scenes she taped, I believe, were in June.
Right, because she would have been stuck, right, because she's had health problems back then.
Right.
And she's been having a little time, limited time on the show since June.
Right. So I think, in a way, it's similar to the death of Mona. I mean, she died off screen also after not being on for a while, and then they just, you know, wrote it in somehow. You know what I mean? And it was just kind of like, oh, she's dead. You know,
they probably,
Mother's
I don't
dead.
Think they gave her the same respect that they,
you know. Georgette's on the line. Georgette?
Hello.
Didn't think you'd be making it tonight.
Hey, Georgette.
Yeah, been really bad couple weeks. I just called to say hey, and I was listening to what you were talking about.
Oh, okay.
I got your message or your text or whatever, so I was like, well, let me call in and say hello. What are you guys even talking about?
The Myrtle. Passing of Eileen Hurley. The NBC, we're going to be getting into the NBC Days of Our Lives head writer, James Riley, and the creator of Passions and how he died in his career.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Oh,
okay. That's
well,
fine.
Yeah.
I just called to say hello, and I am on the way home from school right now, so just call me whenever, you know, you're done or whatever. I'll be on around. I have work to do, so I'll be awake for a while.
All righty.
Okay, ciao.
Okay, bye, Georgette.
Bye, guys.
What did I say?
Joanne?
Yes.
Do you think we could type something? I mean, I hate to ask you. I have to have friends helping me out with my thoughts. Do you think we could type it in? Because they do this like 3 weeks in advance before it airs, so it'll give them a chance to think up some ideas.
Well,
because
I mean,
she deserves this
women.
Respect.
Right, and I think that they're probably already got something in the works. I don't know how much us writing to them will affect how they're going to play out her death, because for all we know, they already have it written into this storyline.
Do you want to take a chance? I know what you're saying. A handful of people writing it. I wasn't too terribly surprised to find out that I wasn't the only one that wrote in for Lila Quartermain.
Right.
So I'm just thinking, if a few people write in, they have to hear from their fans, and if they already didn't give Mona the respect that she deserves, and all my children, maybe that's not their strong point. Giving tribute,
maybe not. Mona died in her sleep as well. So I mean, what are they going to have every elderly person die in their sleep?
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. I see what you're saying. But,
you know,
I would like to see you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought we were losing again. I think we should kind of put a little emphasis that I mean, didn't you say the same writers for General Hospital is now writing for All My Children now or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Charles Pratt Jr. is the head writer.
Well, I mean, maybe if we give them an idea, maybe they'll do something a little bit stronger, because I think All My Children tends to, that's not their strong part in writing, is for a proper tribute, a proper...
Brandon, did he write the story line for, write the memorial for Lila Quartermain? Was he on that?
You know what? I don't think so. I think he had already left because he went to work on Desperate Housewives in the summer of 2004. And I believe she died sometime after that. So I think
she died May 14th.
She actually died, I think, a week before the Daytime Emmys. Because I remember the Daytime Emmys did a tribute to Anna at the very end, towards the very end, and they had presented an award to her son Jeffrey Byron.
Mm-hmm.
Herself presented an award to him in her honor.
Yeah, you're right. I do remember that.
Anyway, my guess is that what they want to do is, at All My Children right now, is kind of wait until the tornado stuff is done. That way they can give proper attention to, you know, some kind of memorial like this.
Right.
Because I think the fallout from the tornado is going to play for a while, so.
Yeah, definitely. I think so too, Brandon. I think
I would say they would wait until that's all done and then do something like this so that they could give it proper attention, proper respect, and have time to line up people like Linda Dano and Robin Christopher and people who I'm sure would want to come back for some kind of memorial.
Right.
Right, exactly.
So, that's just a guess, but
they could use the General Hospital as a kind of like a platform or something. I know they don't cross over to there.
Yeah, but you know what I think too, though? General Hospital, to me, is in a different category than All My Children, One Life to Live.
I agree with you on that.
I don't know that they would want to. I don't know that they would follow in their same footsteps, regardless of what the storyline is or what the tribute is or anything like that. Brandon, you were right. Emily did pass away May 14th.
Okay.
I was right?
Oh, 04. Yeah, she died May 14th, but she did have they did do a tribute to her at the Daytime Emmys
in June.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they did a tribute in the daytime. Yeah, I remember the one that played Brenda did some kind of an announcement.
Yeah, Vanessa Marcel, she was the host at the time, and
yeah.
I think they had a tribute to not only Anna that night. She was supposed to be one of the members of the veterans and daytime actors who have been over on their shows more than 30 years on the air. She was supposed to be one of the people in her along with Rube Warwick, and Rube Warwick was out there at the time, and then she died, I think, a few months later.
What did she die of, Ruth Warwick? I remember her dying.
Natural causes, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, she was sick for quite a while, but I think she went. She died in her sleep. I think it was in October that year, November. I was not really sure, but it was later that year that she passed away.
Anna Lee died of pneumonia.
Right.
Oh, and they were going to fire her.
They did fire her. Wendy Riche promised her, make sure I say it the right way. In 2003, she was fired. According to Leslie Charlson, Lee was promised a job for life by Wendy Riche, the former executive producer. And when Riche left the show, the new management fired her. Charlson said in 2007, the woman was in her 80s at the time And then when the new powers that be took over, they fired her, and it broke her heart, and it just wasn't necessary. And one of her sons attested that the firing sapped Lee's will to live. She died not long afterwards of pneumonia.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad whoever changed their mind was more... Kudos to whoever changed their mind, because I thought that... Well, we were beginning to see less and less of her, right?
Right. She was mainly, I think, a background, you know, a couple of times. You maybe see her on the air a couple of times when the Quartermains had scenes.
Yeah.
But other than that, you rarely saw her on air.
I think it's in good taste what they do, bringing her up from time to time. I think that's in very good taste.
Yeah.
And I do agree with you. I don't think all my children would want to follow in their footsteps storyline. I'm just saying they need to give Myrtle more of a tribute and not make the same mistake with Myrtle as they did with Mona.
Right, and I think that...
And the same for Phoebe, too.
Yeah, I think Brandon has it right. I think they're going to wait until the dust settles on the tornado. And in my opinion, I think that they're going to find her in the rubble somewhere.
Like they did Bianca.
Well, I mean, Bianca's alive, so... But I think they're going to find her in the rubble. And you know, everything is being destroyed, and the city's in chaos. Yeah. And, you know, I think eventually when it all comes to, I think they're going to find Myrtle in the rubble of the tornado, and I think that's how she's going to end up leaving Pine Valley. I don't think they're going to make her die in her sleep.
No.
Well, you could be right.
It could be.
But she deserves a lot more dignity than just a tornado death. I don't know.
Well, I think the dignity is going to come in on how they honor her, not how she actually died. I mean, dying in your sleep is a repeat of Mona. I mean, the dignity will come in on how they tribute her, you know.
Well, can we write some of that in our opinions?
I hope if they do something properly like that, it'd probably be sometime after the 20th thing dies. So it probably could probably be around the holidays.
Well, if you think about it, they're going crazy right now. Excuse me. They're going crazy now. They're looking for Emma. David Hayward's about to make an appearance. Jesse just confessed to Angie about his daughter.
And her mother's coming next week.
Right, and then Bianca and the baby, all this stuff is, and Babe dying, all of this stuff is centered around the tornado. And I think somewhere in the middle of all that, it's going to come to maybe Zach goes to look for Myrtle because of Kendall's condition. I mean, it could be anything. Maybe Zach is the one who actually finds that she's gone, you know,
because of their connection. That makes a lot of sense because she was it was so warm. And All My Children is famous for that.
Right.
Emotional warm bonds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what got me so attached to All My Children is the bonding. They,
right.
I mean, they have such beautiful bonding, I think more than any daytime drama.
No more question.
Yeah. We're right over at the half mark of the show. Let's switch gears a little bit.
You'll let me listen still?
Yeah. You don't have to go nowhere. Actually, I have another caller here. Let me see who this is. Area code 814, who am I speaking with?
Hello?
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 Is Kimberly Locke still there?
That's tomorrow night. Kimberly Locke tomorrow night at 10 o'clock.
It's tomorrow
23rd.
Night.
How got a little excited. I'm sorry, but I've been enjoying your show.
Oh, that's okay. But come back tomorrow. She'll be on at 10 o'clock.
Okay, I don't know why. I got my days confused. Okay.
That's okay.
No problem.
But I like listening to you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
Oh, I am so glad you let me be a part of this, Joanne.
Oh, no problem. So, Brandon, we're going to switch gears to James E. Riley.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody heard or if everybody kind of follows the behind-the-scenes names like I do, but one of the biggest names in the business, certainly of the last two decades, died last week. His name is James E. Riley. He has written for a number of shows. He won an Emmy for Guiding Light in the early 90s, and he was kind of credited for kind of the glory days of Guiding Light in the early 90s. And he moved to Days of Our Lives in 1993 and completely revitalized that show with outrageous, campy plots like burying Carly Manning alive and Marlena's Possession and kind of the reemergence of the Demiras. And he had a hugely successful run on Days of Our Lives throughout most of the 90s. He left Days of Our Lives in 97 and created his own show for NBC called Passions, which debuted in 99 and which just went off the air this year, in September of this year. And shortly after that show went off the air, he died while recovering from cardiac surgery. I guess there were complications afterwards, and he died in recovery, basically. And so, it's a pretty big blow to the industry, I think, because the rumor was that he was going to be drafted by Days of Our Lives one more time to kind of rescue the show. It's no secret the show's been in major trouble lately, and the rumor was that he was going to go back there and try to save it again. And now he's passed away, and I guess a number of things are in flux over there at NBC and in the industry as a whole. And so he's a pretty major behind the scenes figure. And I haven't really heard a lot of people talk about his death and his passing and his legacy. And so when Joanne mentioned that, we were going to talk about people who have passed on recently tonight, it seemed like a good place to inject his name.
Absolutely. And, I'm not an NBC follower, and I don't do the behind-the-scenes things the way that you do. So I'm glad that you were able to hang out and do this because, regardless of what soap he's on, he's still somebody who made an impact in the industry. And he was only 60 years old, and if no one sat and talked about him, we would be doing the same thing that we're accusing ABC of doing to their people. You know what I mean? Not
okay.
Paying tribute.
Exactly.
So we're paying tribute regardless of what soap he's on or where he came from. And Brandon knows all about him, so I'm letting Brandon take the floor.
You have a beautiful heart, Joanne, if you don't mind me saying that.
Well, thank you very much. I have some people that will disagree with you, but I appreciate the compliment. But I'm going to let Brandon take over on this one because he knows so much more about him and the things that he's done. I just have my little notes here, and I don't know, Tony, if you know anything, you can chime in also.
Okay, I don't know about it, but I'm going to let Brandon run on this one.
Well, I don't really know what to say, but he was a very, in terms of his work, he was a very polarizing figure. I mean, he understood and wrote for the basic tenets of daytime drama, but he did it very simplistically. I mean, there weren't a lot of gray areas in his characters. I don't know. There wasn't There wasn't a lot of kind of intellectual rigor involved in watching his shows. His shows were very easy to watch, very very simplistically written, but followed the basic essentials of daytime drama beautifully. I mean, there were heroes, there were villains, there were core families, there were you know, there were the doomed lovers, there was, you know, Love on the Run, there was, you know, kind of all the basic tenets of daytime drama, but it wasn't like, you know, sitting down and watching Ryan Tope. I mean, there were two totally different experiences. He was indisputably a genius and very good at what he did, and, you know, I mean, he wrote story the way Bill Bell wrote story in the day, which was, you know, don't tell the story today if you can tell it tomorrow, and don't tell it tomorrow if you can tell it next week. You know, he liked to drag on stories for years and years, and he was a master at it. And, you know, like him or hate him, there's no question that he saved Days of Our Lives, and there's no question that he made a major impact in the little world that we follow with such vigor and enthusiasm.
Right. You know, and what you said about Dave might have been wanting to rehire him again, that was just out in the beginning of the month. I think I saw that posted like around October 6th or something like that, that they were looking to have him come back.
Yeah, it's been kind of an open secret that show's been in trouble for, if you want to go back to when he left the first time, that's really when the trouble started, but it's really been in major trouble in the last year or so. Kind of protracted negotiations with NBC about whether it's going to be renewed, and if it is going to be renewed, there's going to have to be, you know, major changes, major budget changes, major creative changes, and, you know, I mean, he was the guy who saved it the first time in the early 90s, and the second time in the early part of this decade with his serial killer storyline that kind of killed half the cast and then brought them back, and it got all kinds
of
mainstream attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you that, Brandon, about the serial killer. Did he do that?
Yes, he did. And when he came back in 2003, that was his way of kind of instantly grabbing attention, instantly grabbing ratings, and it worked. I mean,
he did that at the exact same time One Life was doing the serial killer, and they had a male doctor and Days of Our Lives had a female doctor, and they had seven people killed off on One Life at the same time that seven people was killed off at Days of Our Lives.
Yes.
What storyline was that on One Life to Live? What,
yeah,
what
Killing
am I not
Club.
Remembering?
Killing Club.
Oh, yes,
with
yes, yes.
Trey?
Yes.
Or,
okay.
Oh, yeah, when Marcy was writing the book.
Right.
I think Rita's talking about the Music Box Killer with...
Oh, Music Box Killer,
with,
yes.
Music Box Killer, I'm sorry.
Right. Okay, I remember that. You know what? I was reading a blog by Tom Casciello, and another writer, and he said it was about, you know, do the writers really watch the stories or do they watch the other stories? And he said something to the effect, like, you have to watch the other stories because if you don't watch the other stories, you might be writing the same exact thing. So it makes you wonder when they do have these storylines that run parallel to each other, do they even know what the hell's going on?
Exactly. And, you know, not for nothing, they say there's only seven stories in the world anyway. It's all a matter of style beyond that. So, you know, it's kind of inevitable that there will be some repeats from time to time.
Right.
Well, didn't Edward Quartermain, portrayer, say that not too long ago on your show, that they repeat storylines sometimes?
Yes.
There's almost no way around it because, you know, there's only so many different, you know, combinations of things you can do at any one time. So it's almost inevitable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got the baby storylines, you got the kidnapping storylines, and eventually, you know, it's not like all of these writers sit together and say, okay, well, I'm going to write about this month. You write about that next month. They just
exactly.
do it. And if it happens, it happens.
Well, and the funny thing about daytime is if something works on one show, all the other shows immediately copy it. It's like when Tony Geary first came on General Hospital in the early 80s, all of a sudden every show had kind of an anti-hero with long hair and leather jackets, and it was kind of the trend du jour. And so when something works on one show, you'll see it pop up on every show almost immediately. I mean, it's just the way of the genre.
Right. Well, I'm happy to say that right now nobody's following in the footsteps of General Hospital as far as the mob goes. Because that's just
well, that's
really
a category
a little,
all of its own.
It's just getting a little played in my taste. But I don't know about NBC as far as what's going on over there, Brandon. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what's going on Days of Our Lives now and those soaps. You still watch them?
I check in with Days. Days is the only one left, by the way. NBC,
Passions left the show, Passions
right.
left the network
TV,
in 2000.
And then they got canceled.
And then
yep.
they went to DirecTV for a year, and then it was canceled this year.
Right.
And so Days is the only one left over there, and when they canceled Passions, they kind of intimated that when Days' contract expires in 2009, that it wasn't going to be renewed because NBC has been getting hammered in the afternoon day parts for quite a while now, and they've kind of made their intentions clear that they intend to get out of the soap business and the daytime business entirely eventually. And so we've heard rumors in the past few months that it has been renewed for 1 year, but nothing has been made official, and the other rumor was that renewal was kind of contingent on James Riley coming back and kind of riding the ship, so to speak. And so now that Riley has passed, everything kind of seems up in the air over there, and so nobody's really sure what's going to happen.
So what will NBC do?
Well, I mean,
it's
inevitable.
Extend it to another hour.
Yeah, it seems inevitable.
They're going to do deal or no deal for the whole afternoon? A guy took home a dollar today. He had $416,000 in his pocket.
Yeah, I just watched that show, Rita. I just watched that show. When it came on the, yeah, I saw that.
I wish he would have taken the $603,000.
No, he actually had $600,000. Yes, he had $610,000.
Yeah. I wish he would have gone home with that.
Well,
I was
NBC,
ready to throw something at him.
NBC is definitely going to start pulling out the stops with the game shows if Days of Our Lives disappears.
They'll
well,
have
you know,
to. Where else can they go?
They've been systematically killing their daytime lineup for, you know, two decades now. They canceled Texas and the Doctors in 82. They canceled Search for Tomorrow in 86.
Another World.
They canceled Santa Barbara in 93. Another World in 99. They brought in Sunset Beach for a couple of years and then canceled it. They brought in Generations for a couple of years and canceled it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they canceled Passions last year. And
right.
You know, if the rumor is true, Days won't
survive
last.
Survive up against General Hospital all the years that it did.
Well, it was actually up against As the World Turns and One Life to Live in most markets. So
right.
Right.
And that was back when Days was fairly healthy ratings wise, and so it got a pretty good lead in, and it was hugely popular among like 12 to 17, you know, the teenage demographic.
Right.
Right, right.
Well, Passions was up against General Hospital in Chicago.
Okay.
That's
I know it,
yeah, here in Chicago, right. Yeah, right, Rita.
I know
and
in
I
most
never
markets,
watched
was,
Chicago.
In most
well,
markets,
you know,
it was
you're from the
area,
you're from the area, you know what it is.
What, Brandon?
Yeah, in most markets, it was in the 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central time slot against As the World Turns and One Life. So, but that's the other problem with NBC. NBC, in the early 80s, kind of decided to let their affiliates air the soaps wherever they wanted to instead of airing them in a complete block the way ABC requires and the way CBS requires. And so, you know, all the affiliates nationwide started moving the soaps all around, and that's why you could never get any kind of momentum that way. Because, you know, I mean, some of the affiliates would air the soaps late at night or in early, like 3 a.m., 2 a.m. time slots, and, you know, you can't get any numbers that way. You can't get any kind of momentum that way.
Right.
Well, I know here in Chicago when Days of Our Lives, you know, Days of Our Lives used to show, they used to show it sometimes at 12 noon in Chicago, and then they had Another World was on and then Passions on the time. When Another World was canceled, then they had Days and Passions back to back. Now, when Passions left, that's the only stuff left. And now it was at noon, and then it moved to 2 o'clock. Now it's back to 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Here in Chicago.
And in my market, they moved Days of Our Lives to 2 o'clock last year, and then they moved it back to 1 o'clock this season. So I mean,
so
who
James
the hell knows?
Riley was only 60?
60 years old.
Wow.
And he was doing this running for like 20, over 27 years, I think, total.
Right.
27 years.
I don't think we look at how hard a job producers have and writers have.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, we get pissed off about storylines and stuff like that and, you know, the decisions that people make to kill a character off or something like that. 9 times out of 10, no one really knows the backstory to it. It's
mm-hmm.
either the actor's choice or it boils down to contract negotiations and money. It's all about money. I mean, the thing with ABC is, if I'm wrong, Brandon, say so. They don't own all their soaps. They don't sell pieces of it to affiliates?
I don't think that's right. ABC owns all their soaps.
Okay. I was told something different, but I don't know. I mean, because, you know, I don't get into that kind of thing, but I was talking to someone, and they told me that ABC did not own all their soaps.
Yes, ABC owns all their soaps, and CBS owns none of their soaps.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Maybe I got it backwards when they were saying it.
Because, yeah, but I think because P&G, P&G owns one soap, and I think the younger ones is Bold and Beautiful. It was created by Bill Bell and Lee Phillip.
Yeah, Bill Bell Productions owns Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful, and
right.
Procter & Gamble owns As the World Turns
and
Dying Light.
And Dying Light, right.
And so...
Okay.
So it's going to be down to 7 soaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, unless ABC rescues me, then I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Yeah, I mean, the last time they had tense contract negotiations was 10 years ago, and back then it was a whole different landscape in daytime, and back then ABC made a really serious play for Days of Our Lives, and what the plan was, they were going to knock down One Life to 30 minutes and All My Children to 30 minutes, and they were going to cancel Port Charles, and they were going to bring in Days of Our Lives, but that was 10 years ago. I mean, nowadays it's a whole different ballgame, so... I mean, if they could
right.
find a home for it on SoapNet, I don't know if that would be a viable option, but if they could, they would probably do that, and otherwise they would probably just let it go. I mean, it's a shame to think that you're going to let, you know, 40 years of history just go, but...
Yeah, well, you know what? They're not really showing it any respect on SoapNet now, and I voiced all this yesterday or whatever because I'm really annoyed that they're playing Beverly Hills 90210 and not All My Children.
They're
and
not
Winfrey Hill and
showing
the
All My Children in the evening?
They show it at nighttime, but on the weekends, SoapNet airs marathons of, well, they did air marathons of the 3 ABC soaps. All My Children certainly got the boot from SoapNet, and they only show the Friday episode. They don't show the full week. And I think that's just really asinine, being that they're trying to get it high up in the ratings again. You know, and bring it out. You know what I mean? Okay, I can't talk about this again because seriously, I'm just going to blow a vessel in my brain. Because really, I did all this yesterday.
Well, I would have been happy to fill you in on. You know, you said you only got Friday. I was going to fill you in.
You know what? I ended up watching clips on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Bianca
had the baby.
Yeah, I saw that. I watched today's episode, a matter of fact. So,
she relived that scene when she was in there looking at her sister. She relived that all over again, and they showed that.
Right, yeah, no, I saw that. That was good. You know what I didn't like and I thought was pretty cheesy was Zach holding the baby up like something from
Roots.
You know, Kunta Kinte holding up the baby to the sky. It reminded me of the Lion King, Mufasa holding up Simba. I thought that was really
You did not like that?
No, not at all.
I think much of the story has been cheesy. We talked about this last night with Ryan and Greenlee and the heavens rejoicing and I think much of the acting has been, much of the acting
why
and much of the writing
Bianca
has been.
Why is Bianca so concerned about her sister being angry?
Because
she knows that she can't have the physical, whatever you call it,
sex. because she has no idea that her husband fathered a child for her sister. So, yeah, she'd probably be a little pissed off that nobody told her.
And she said, why don't you humor me and tell me who the father is? And then they broke away. Something happened.
So it'll come out eventually. I think Greenlee finds out about it first.
Well, Greenlee says, so who's the father? And then they show in the magazine I have, it said, the truth comes out about Zach, so we know what the truth is already.
Right, and I think Greenlee's the one who's going to find out about it, and it's a question of whether or not she's going to keep the secret. But whatever, you know, I don't think it's really a big deal.
So do you think Bianca will use that to get her out of the coma?
No. I don't think so.
No, I think Helen's going to be in a coma for the long haul, at least for the immediate long haul.
Well, we know one thing for sure from what we were talking about earlier, the respect for Myrtle. We know that Erica Kane is going to have to be rescued.
Well, she will be. She'll be. I mean, you got Ryan, you got
Annie,
you got Petey,
and
Colby all in them tunnels. They're all going to be out. They'll all be out very soon. They're not going to stay in there. I mean,
and I certainly
today,
don't see Adam getting it out the easy way, out.
David Hayward's going to make his appearance. You know, it'll all be over hopefully by this weekend.
Do you think David Hayward will save Kendall? Because he's the top neurologist, isn't he?
No, he was a cardiologist. Right.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So,
Brandon,
what are they?
Cardiologist.
You know what? I don't remember that now that you asked me that.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Dixie's heart.
Yeah.
Remember he did the surgery on Dixie for
yeah.
her heart problem or whatever? Yeah, he was
mm-hmm.
a cardiologist.
And then Leah was telling him, she's our mother. She gave us life. And there's another one that needs to come back. You know they never found his body.
Josh Duhamel is not coming back to soap anytime soon.
I
he is way, way, way too popular now in the big screen mm-hmm. world. They just did Transformers 2, and he's got other things going on. He's a hot commodity out there in California now.
He's a natural.
Yeah,
he's a natural.
So he's not going to come back to soap. People like that start on soaps and then move on to the big screen, don't come back to soaps until the big screen fades away for them. And then they remember where they came back from, and they need the ego boost. That's when they come back to soaps.
Same thing for movie stars. Same thing for movie stars.
When I
TV.
Saw Rebecca in person, mm-hmm. I gave her a letter, and I told her, you can read this yourself and send it to him because I don't have megabytes. I don't have any friends that have enough megabytes to help me out because it was a long legal size letter that the one thing on daytime dramas gives the actors more opportunity to use more of their acting abilities than I think even in the movies or even in the nighttime once a week primetime shows. And that's
right.
I don't know. I don't see why, like you say, when some of that fades down, I think his comeback would be bigger than even Marty's. I know you're saying that storyline's getting a little old.
Yeah.
the truth is going to be coming out soon is what I read.
Right. Let me interrupt you for a second. We got 27 seconds left. Tomorrow night, Kimberly Locke from Season 2, American Idol, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you guys come and check that out. I'm really excited about that.
Are we
going to
make her
out.
Sing, Joanne?
I'm going to make her sing for me. Yeah. She's going to sing me an intro. So make sure everybody comes back tomorrow. I'll call in tomorrow, Joanne.
You said I only call in for the soaps. I don't know if you were referring to me, but I'll call in to
No, I wasn't referring to anybody specific. I was just saying in general that I noticed when we have guests on who are not of the soap world that none of the Stardish listeners come and open their mind to other genres of entertainment and possibilities.
Well, I listened yesterday, so I appreciate
Yes, you did, Rita. You are definitely one of the loyal listeners, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Brandon, that just always show up. They're like the postmen, sleet, hail, rain. Nothing keeps them away from Stardish Radio.
Except when your switchboard's not working.
Oh, please. I know, Blog Talk Radio. But some exciting stuff is coming up also. I was talking to Brandon. I don't want to jinx it, but we might be having another visit from Bob Guinea next week to go over Super Soap Weekend and Rock the Soap Cruise. And as the months go on up to Rock the Soap Cruise, we are working on a guest either each week or every other week that is going to be on that cruise to come on the show. So working on that right now.
Eden Regal is somebody I would really, really love to talk to.
You never got to talk to Eden on any of my shows?
No.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she'll probably come back, maybe with Bob. We'll see what happens, but I'm waiting for a date from Bob to come back. I think we're going to do it, like, right before Super Soap Weekend. And he's going to come on and talk about that and Rock the Soap Cruise.
Oh, I wish I could go to that so bad.
The
my
cruise?
My friend Jen and me. Well, I don't know. When's the cruise?
The cruise is in March.
March 20th to 23rd, I think it is.
Yeah, it's expensive, though.
Well, how much is the cruise? Well, you said yourself Super Soap Weekend was less expensive than the cruise.
Oh, it is, in my opinion, yeah. I mean, you can go on, see, the cruise, you kind of get locked into booking it through Carnival, and you go through their airlines and all that other stuff. So you end up paying out of the nose, plus the rooms. I was telling Brandon earlier that the cheapest room available was $709 per person, and that was the bottom deck. That was the bottom deck. I mean, I'm talking about Titanic bottom deck. Okay? And no view, no nothing. It was the Titanic, and that's it. And for $709 per person. And that does not include any gratuities or there's only an open bar, I think, two nights or something. And, you know, your food, of course, is always included. But, you know, there's so many taxes and other things. I think it was an additional $190 if there were two people going. And if it was only one room, a room for one person, it was an additional $289. So no matter what, you're going to be paying a good $2,000 to $3,000 just for that trip. If that's what you're going on.
I'm trying to come up with airfare for Super Soap. I have
you know
two
what?
More spots.
I'll tell you right now, the best way to do Super Soap Weekend, and it's the way that I did it, is through like one of these Expedia or Hotels.com. I got my hotel and airfare for $309. My hotel is for four nights.
I have something better than that. I have Summer Bay and 4 days, three nights, and Disney World and a trip for two to the theme park. And I can't come up with the airfare money because right now I don't even have money for food this month.
How does it not include the airfare?
It's Summer Bay. It's a vacation resort. I have to go to one of those 90 minutes.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying.
And I have four people, enough for four people, four days, three nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give those two to somebody, and it's right there in the Disney World area.
Mm-hmm.
If they would help me with airfare, and we're trying to get cheaper airfare, like through Spirit, and Jenna said it was like $30.
Oh yeah.
And huh. I would give those other two spots to somebody that would help me with the airfare, me and Jenna with the airfare. 815 friend of mine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would do that to go to the last Super Soap weekend because that's what I wanted to use that for. 4 days,
right.
Three nights.
Right. Why don't you have Jenna post it on MySpace? And maybe you can get somebody. Yeah, Craigslist is another thing. She's computer literate. Have her post it up on these sites. I mean, there's only, 20-some-odd days left before it's due. So.
Well, I was trying to get her to sell. I have, like, seven other vacations. I was trying to get her, somebody to give me, like, $100, 5 days, four nights in Spain, 5 days, four nights in Cancun, Mexico. They're all separate packages. And, somebody gave me 100 here or 100 there, and they get, that's certainly worth a lot more than that with the hotels.
Well, just have her post it on Craigslist or MySpace. I mean, they have
been doing
for stuff
it.
Like that.
I haven't gotten any calls. She did that for me.
Really?
So if you have any fancy ideas.
I honestly, those are the only things I would think of.
I just thought of two more people coming to the Florida, 4 days, three nights,
because
it's enough for four people, and the person backed out that has a car that was going to go with me and Jenna.
Right.
And I'm just thinking now, if you know someone, Joanne, that wants 4 days, three nights, that doesn't have that would help me out with the airfare.
I could honestly get it for
$30.
Right. I honestly don't know anybody that would do that. My friends that are going with me already live in Florida. They're driving up. So, they already live in Florida. So, I don't know. I mean, if she's not getting any bites off of Craigslist or MySpace, I wouldn't know what to tell you other than the fact that, nobody wants to spend money right now, They're doing those staycations, but, I don't know. Guys, any thoughts?
Well, I'm trying to get reimbursed. My identity was stolen this year. I'm trying to get reimbursed for some of these things. I'm trying everywhere where I can get something back. I mean,
right.
I had my identity stolen this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
I have a $349,000 mortgage on the South Side. And I don't even own property.
Holy cow.
What?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Rita. if I can think of anything, I'll definitely let you know.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Okay, well, guys, we're about to call it quits here. Tomorrow night, Kimberly Locke.
And thank you for letting me be part of Myrtle's ideas.
Oh, you're welcome, Rita. You're welcome. It's always
and
a pleasure.
I know somewhere else Eileen is off tonight celebrating her life with Ruth and Lewis and everybody that she knew from all my children days. And same thing for James Riley up there with Bill Bell collaborating on what.
Maybe she's having a conversation with Anna Lee, too.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly, Anna Lee. Yeah. About the good old days, preparing notes. Let me see.
All right, guys, we'll check you in tomorrow with Kimberly Locke.
At what time?
10 p.m. Eastern time.
That's right.
So that's
cool.
9 o'clock my time.
9 o'clock your time.
9 o'clock Chicago time. That's right.
Thanks for joining Stardust Radio. Have a great night.
Good night, everybody.
You.
Good night, guys. Take care. Good night, John Boy.
Oh, I love it.